Let's go while we're young.
Get a drink and take a seat. Guess where you are? You're in the back room. Ask your doctor if the back room is right for you. Let me tell you something. The answer is a hard fucking no. Unless you're, you know. If you're a regular viewer of the show, you know, like I like to say, I tell my wife when we got married and she like starts, ugh. I go, hey, you knew what this was. You knew what this was. So welcome to the back room show. We've been off a little bit. I was going to, we had scheduled a New Year's Eve extravaganza. And by that, I mean me and Matt Ferranda sitting in our respective houses, entertaining adults who like us who don't go out. But hey, the COVID decided to come visit me. So, which is amazing because I, if you know anything about me, boy, do I like to not leave the house. But shit happens. Like Jurassic Park, life finds a way. It finds a way. I'm fine now, though. Lost my taste for a while. And if you're watching this show, you know. I, of course, am your old pal, Gary Williams, of the Pennsylvania Williamses. I don't fucking know. I don't know. Fucking my co-host is fucking losing his shit over there. Christ. All right. Well, first of all, everybody who's, I know we got to see a bunch of people on there. Say hi in the chat. Hello, everybody good? Everything okay? We're streaming okay? All right. If you watched our last episode, you know that we said goodbye for now to our my wonderful, beautiful, talented, permanent co-host, Maria Gerald. She is an empty nester now. Her daughter's off in college. And her and her husband have plans all aplenty. Which may or may not involve having sex all over the house. I don't know. Hey, she's not here. You know, she may or may not be listening. We have some changes here. So for a few episodes, we're going to have guest co-hosts. And then, well, lucky you, we're going to have a new permanent co-host. And I think you will enjoy them. But, so that said, let's introduce my guest co-host. This is a man who has been on this very program. He's the co-creator, head writer, caters, I don't know. The scripted comedy podcast, Jack Billing Presents, because there's a couple of versions. We'll explain why. And they've been nice enough to ask me to come on and do a couple of hilarious voices. Please, a big backroom show welcome return to, you know him, you love him, Michael Colby. There he is.
Hi.
Michael Colby of Jack Billings Presents.
Yes.
Presents himself.
Yes, on there.
Now, explain that quickly because why I did the dot, 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 because there are kind of some versions of it, right?
Jack Billings Presents is a scripted, absurd comedy podcast where we have several different realities that we live in. Right. Each different season is a different reality. The first one is called Jack Billings Presents Me and My Neighbor Michael. It's a little bit
voiced
more,
by you,
more grounded in reality. Right. This one is called Jack Billings Presents Haunted Apartment Complex. It takes place in an apartment complex that is in fact haunted by ghosts such as myself.
There you go. Here we go. This is the Facebook page. There you go. Check that out.
We still have a Facebook page?
We have a fucking Facebook page? You do have a fucking Facebook page. Jack Billings Presents Haunted Apartment Complex on
Podmoth Network.
Podmoth Network, yes.
Are on
Podmoth. And I know you just, like literally hours ago, not even, put a fucking new episode out. But I have to show this. This is fucking hilarious. Now you can find it over at Spotify. Look at the name of that title. Look at that episode title. It is not funny or cool to drown children anymore. which I love. First of all, let's bring you in fully here, bring the show, which I love. We talked about earlier, which implies
that it used to be funny to drown children.
There was a period of time, probably post Vietnam, maybe pre Vietnam. I'm no historian. If you have any historians in the audience, please pipe in. Like, hey, drown kids, please, run away. Especially maybe if they were thought to be a witch, I think, perhaps.
Yeah, I think it was okay to drown witch children.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, but which ones?
Oh, my God. Gary, have you
nothing but
have
work.
You thought about letting your co-host in first to do like the pre-ramble instead of yourself?
Nope. Nope.
Because
never
you're
happen.
Very bad at it.
No. Oh, thank you. I'm the best at it. First of all, you might also recognize my co-host from 3 years running, winning the Brian Posehn lookalike contest. Congratulations on that. I am amazing at this, by the way. So I will not let your middle-aged man, Wu-Tang Clang wearing shirt, Clang, what? Wu-Tang Clang, Clang, Clang goes the fucking trolley ass telling me, coming on my show. You talking about practice? Anyway, so that's that. Yes. So, all right. And also, of course, here we are. Back on the Backroom Show. Check us out on YouTube. Subscribe. You want to cost you? Fuck all is what it costs you. It costs you Zippo. Zippity-doo-dah. Doesn't cost you a damn thing. Here's what you do. Ready? Ready? You have this fucking phone. You know you got your phone. All right. You go in there. You open up fucking YouTube. Blah, blah, blah. You scroll in. You ready? All one word. The Backroom Network. You're going to see like something like this or whatever. Just subscribe. That's it. Here's all the physical exertion that you fucking need. You ready? Ready? That's it. Just, that's all I ask of you. That's it. That's all I ask of you. And follow us, of course, on Facebook, Backroom Show, and the Backroom Network. Oh my God, you have two pages? He's kidding, honey. No one has two pages. That's a Back to the Future joke right there. Thank you very much for all you nerds out there. Like this guy. So like, subscribe, all that stuff. Listen, bring it in. Bring it in. Do your old pal Gary a favor here, okay? If you are currently watching this on the Facebook, which I know you are, go the fuck over to YouTube, all right? Watch it there for like 2 fucking seconds, all right? Hold on. Lady Poopin didn't check it in. Hey, by the way, join the chat. I got it. Yeah, you got it. I don't know what you got, but you fucking got it, all right? Yeah, join the chat, too. There you go. All right, go over to YouTube, you fucking troglodytes, all right? Go and find the show. Watch it for a little bit. We got to get those hits up, those counts. I need validation. I'm a pudgy middle-aged man doing a show. I need the likes and good measures of, I don't know. I'm tired. I didn't eat much today. So
and
that's
you also
it.
Have
so go.
Tea.
Yeah, exactly. So we have a couple our upcoming schedule here. Here we go. Boom. February 16th. Now you may notice, wait a minute, what? Yes, that is a Friday. Okay. And then the 27th, that's a Tuesday again. Now, pay attention. After those shows, your favorite Backroom Show, your favorite video podcast will be going Fridays full time. Fridays,
wow.
Full time, baby. So let's
right look. when people who have no lives are ready to watch stuff on Friday evenings.
Dude, who do you think our demographic is? Do you think we're getting the winners? maybe.
I mean, Lady Poopington seems pretty cool.
Lady Poopington is my wife, so yeah, she's very cool. Yes.
Forget
yes.
It. If she's got married to you, then yes. She can't be that cool.
Yeah, not that cool. So on the 16th, Courtney goes to courting. If you're a regular viewer of the show, you've seen Courtney chime in. She's very, a little too honest and upfront, perhaps. I don't know, maybe. And she's a gorgeous woman. Lovely. And she'll be also be joined by my dear, dear friend, Julie Swartz, who has been on this very program too. They're going to be talking about, they're both single and have not had the best of luck dating. You know what I mean? They are chronically single. And boy, do they have some stories to tell about maybe some things that people guys do. So that'll be fun. Check that out. And on the 27th, which is a Tuesday, I can stop at any time. My new pal, Jason Neal, is joining me and my lifelong friend, Mike Rupert. These are both a couple of guys who are very let's just say, nerdy or geeky in their very specific things that they're into. We're going to talk about different things. If you pay attention to the show, you know your old pal Gary has got into restoring old televisions. And my new pal Jason, I met him through doing that, and he's been a great lot of help. He's been restoring television since the dawn of time. What? And well, let's just do this. And then my friend Mike Rupert, who's amazing, who's also been on this show, and Gary has friends, another show. He restores arcade video games. What? And jukeboxes. So that's pretty cool. So we're going to talk about some of the strange and interesting things that people collect. Please chime in, anyone, with things you're into. So that will be fun. And of course, don't forget to check out the other Backroom Show produced show, the Participation Trophy Wives. Available. It's only audio version right now, but will be doing video very soon. The ladies have been on the show. They're hilarious and often a little, they like to have fun. They're hilarious. Check them out on Apple Podcasts. And basically, I said this before. You know how, like, when you do it, Michael, you know about this. When people, like talk about their podcast, they're like, it's available on Apple and Spotify. And, mm-hmm. Well, Stitcher's not around anymore. But they'll name a bunch of ones. But guess what? Unnecessary. Here's the deal. You got an Apple? You got an iPhone? Boom. Apple Podcast. You got a non-Apple? Or even if you do, if you like, some people prefer it, you go to Spotify. That's it. You need fucking two. You need Podbean and all that other horseshit. You don't need all that unless they want to sponsor the show. Then they're the best podcasting service that ever walked the face of the fucking planet. So check them out. Once again, Participation Trophy Wives. You go, well, cute. I'm a dude. They're hilarious. You sexist prick. All right. I think that's all the plugs. Yeah, I said we'll be changing the show days. The next show will be Friday, then Tuesday again, and then after that, Friday's full time. Stay tuned. You know how you can stay tuned? You follow us on the social media. You'll figure it the fuck out. And speaking of Courtney, yes, starting after that, Courtney will become my full-time co-host. She's hilarious. She's a lot of fun. I've known her since we were kids. We grew up across the street from each other. She's awesome, and she's going to be a wonderful addition to this very program, and she's got nice cans. I'm just saying.
No, wait, I'm not your permanent co-host after this?
No.
What the fuck am I doing,
dude,
here?
Dude, are you kidding me? You're not even coming back ever. You fucking overlit motherfucker. No, you look grim.
Look, I can make myself dark.
No, you're fine. No, you're fine. Oh, actually, that's pretty good right there. That's pretty good.
It's Spotify.
Michael, are you subscribed to the Backroom Show on YouTube?
Absolutely not.
No, nor should you be. It's not right for anyone. No. But anyway, go check that out, everybody. So Courtney Gift will be our new... She'll be the new co-host of this very program. And I'm looking forward to it because she's a lot of fun. And we always laugh. Anyway, that's it. All right. So today's topic... We're going to talk about what it means to be a man in this day and age compared to, say, our fathers, our grandfathers, and so on. Well, there you go. Oh, why isn't that showing up there? That's weird. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Hold on, I got to check something very quickly. We're having a slight technical. There it is. Speaking of Courtney, checking in. There you go. Hi, guys. Hey, Courtney. Yes.
Hi.
There she is. Look at her. Gorgeous. You can't tell from that little thumbnail.
Yeah.
But,
what the fuck are you talking about, Gary?
Dude.
It's like a fuzzy picture.
Yeah, whatever.
Of a person's
I'm sorry.
Face.
Okay, Mr. Production Value. I've heard your show.
Whoa.
Yeah,
wow.
I know. You do
now
the old,
I'm insulted.
You do
can
the old.
Call me, you can say what you want about how I look or my stupid voice or any of that stuff, but you say that my podcast is
fair
poorly
enough.
Produced?
Yes. No, go check out Jack Billings Presents, damn it. It's funny. Seriously, it's great. You'll have a good time. So we're talking about what it means to be a man in this day and age. I welcome our guest today is my pal Brian, who I met back in 2008, the year the Phillies won the World Series. We were doing a show together, and we've been pals ever since. He's going to give us his own personal, but maybe also a perspective as a therapist. By the way, that goddamn Celebrity Jeopardy on SNL has ruined the word therapist for me because I can't not see the rapist, motherfuckers. Here you go. The dude on the right is definitely not Courtney. He's not Courtney, but he will be Courtney soon. I believe they're, I don't know what that means. I don't know. I'm vamping here. All right. So please, let's get started here. My pal, a big backroom show welcome for the great, the Irish, Brian Gallagher. There he is. Brian Gallagher, hold on. Irish therapist. Now, let's be perfectly clear. It doesn't mean that he is a therapist specifically to the Irish. It means that he is a therapist of Irish descent. Brian, welcome to the Backroom Show. What say you?
I say that...
Look at your stupid little crate and barrel background there. No, go ahead.
You don't like it?
Fucking it. No, actually, I tease you. I really do like it. I'm jealous, actually. I like it. It's very cozy. I assume you do telehealth visits, too, right?
Yeah. So I was trying to come up with several possible names for a podcast that I wanted to do.
Right.
With the word therapist. And I just kept on reading it, The Rapist.
The Rapist. Yeah. Exactly. Dude, when I was making your lower third, all I kept seeing was The Rapist, The Rapist, The Rapist. Which, knowing you personally, kind of fits. Kind of fits. No, I'm teasing. I'm teasing everyone. Wink, wink. I'm going to bump up your volume, everybody. Everybody here? Everybody okay? We good here? Gentlemen! You right there, Michael? Michael Boyle Stitch.
I don't know what I expect when I come on a show with you, Gary.
Yes. Yes. Chaos.
I'm like, surely I'll be able to talk at least a little bit this time.
No. Never. You will. Hey, asshole face. It's coming. All right.
I don't even get to talk when you're on my show.
No. You know what? Here. Here's a little advice for you. Ready? A Nicholas Brother free advice. Be interesting. I'm just saying. Just be interesting. It's just gotta be interesting. All right. So today, like we said, we're talking about what it means to be a man. Let's jump off right away with sort of what we each think maybe or whatever, or somebody jump in, what historically it means we think to be a man. And I think this is an interesting panel because Michael is a video game fucking nerd and, you know, produced a podcast. Brian was a therapist, turned actor, turned therapist again. I'm me. So no one is exactly fucking confusing any of us with Lee Marvin. Like none of us has ever said the phrase, "Hey, honey, I have to go work a double shift on the dock today." You know what I mean? That's never been fucking said in the history of these three fucking jerk calls right here. But guys, Michael, we'll start with you since you're so anxious to talk. What do you think historically it's meant to be a man and how that compares with nowadays?
I don't think it's ever meant anything to be a man. People seem to think like manliness like means something, but it means something to a certain amount of people. And there has always historically been, you know, not traditionally manly men.
Right.
And I don't like it drives me crazy that people are like, oh, yeah, you know, back in the 50s, you know, men were this. And, you know, back in the 20s, men were this. Like there wasn't, you know, always poets and actors and writers. And, you know, traditionally, you know, when you think of a poet, you don't think of somebody who's down at the docks, you know, working, you know, lifting shit and, you know,
hey, yeast, let's go. Get fucking loaded here. Let's go. Hey, Whitman, come on. We got a deadline here.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Walt Whitman was not lifting anything heavy. So, and he was what, the 1800s?
Yeah.
People, when you say manly, people think of a certain thing, but it's never been that, actually. Yeah.
You had a good point when we did a pre-call check about saying, let's not act like there have been, you know, Greek writers, all the poetry, plays. Who the hell do you think wrote about, all the battles and things, you know, it was the people that fucking, you know, maybe took the time to learn how to read and write or whatever, you know,
and there's always been, you know, the guys in the, you know, in the Revolutionary War, you know, playing the drums in the front of the line. Like, they're not soldiers. They're just, like, artists.
Right.
You know, they're fucking Renaissance.
If you look at that,
you look at those Renaissance guys, and they're, like, wearing the puffy things, and Leonardo da Vinci was fucking, you know, with, what's his name? Anyway, he was gay. Everybody thinks that that guy's
Jesus.
No,
Mona Lisa was a fag hag, totally. Oh, yeah, 100%. Oh, yeah. Yeah, she was his plus one for social events. So,
yeah, exactly. it's just silly. It's just silly to think that manliness is. And I'm 6 foot one, 270 pounds, bald, big beard. You know, nobody messes with me because they think, you know, somebody sees me on the street and they're like, oh, well, you know, I'm not going to mess with that guy. You can fucking mess with me. I'm the least manly man you've ever met.
I can attest to that. I've met him. Not for me. All right.
No, but, I'm not for a lot of people.
Mr. Gallagher, what say you? What do you think traditionally, maybe how things conflict, you know, from how we were, you know, you got to do this and you got to, you know, be a man versus maybe some realities of what it really means?
Yeah, you guys already seem to be starting from some position that I think maybe how we were raised thinking about what it means to be a man. It seems like that's the jumping off point. Whereas I'm thinking about it evolutionarily the past few hundred thousand years, then plus, you know, several millennia and through different cultures, it has meant various things, many, many different things. So, you know, there's all kind of traits we can associate with it, given a different time frame and a different culture. So,
yeah, I can only speak for, you know, a period of my life that I've lived on this planet. So exactly. Right. It was always right.
So how were we raised thinking what it means to be a man? And
I think so. Yeah.
You know, we could talk about the ideas of bravery, courage, strength, stoicism, sacrifice.
Huh. Very poetic of you, Brian. There you go.
You know, and here's the funny thing is, like, all those traits can be good at certain times given certain circumstances,
right?
And they can also be bad. And then there's a whole other part of what it can mean to be a man that includes our feelings and our emotional experience and our connection to other human beings, and that's a part of who we are biologically. That's part of our drive and of who we are. So that is also part of being a man.
Yeah. This leads perfectly into the next thing. Could you said it about sort of the generational, what we know versus what's been. And I wrote this down because I wanted to make sure what I call generational animosity. Now, everybody knows it as these kids today kind of thing, you know. Oh, I had it hard. They had it. Oh, they're soft today. That kind of thing. They're soft. Why do you think, like what is it about, when I was coming up with this, this topic, I can't remember exactly what it was, but it something triggered me about that whole, it seems like some people are hell-bent on thinking, you have to, as a rite of passage, to not even be a man, even be a woman, just to grow up, you have to eat shit to a certain amount of level. You have to just, like, you have to have suffering, you have to tough shit, you know, and I don't know, where do you think that comes from? Do you think there's, you know, I don't know. What do you think about that? Anybody, any opinions on that?
I mean, I think it's like, look, if you've gone through a certain amount of hard times just to try to get by and survive, and then you're noticing other people having much easier times and having much more access to resource that you didn't have, I think there's something natural to, like, oh, shit, that sucks. I wish I could have had that. But if you have your own kids, obviously you want that for them, at least to a certain degree. You want life to be better. Although there is this dividing line that we can talk about now about, do we want it to be better or easier? And are they the same thing? Because I'm not sure they're the same thing.
That's a good point.
I think life can be better and you can still have expectations of them that drive them in certain ways to be their best selves, which is not necessarily giving them everything.
Yeah. Now, Michael, we talked about that generational thing. Go ahead, touch on that we talked about. Basically, it originated from memes that you see on, like, social media about the comparisons today.
Yeah. Well, first of all, as far as, like, generational things go, it's always been that. Like, my dad, you know, thought that I wasn't, you know, manly enough or whatever. He's fine now. Right. But like, but his dad was the same way, and I'm sure his dad was the same way. Like, as we grow as a society, things are going to get easier. Like, there's no reason that we have to suffer. So obviously, you know, we still have to do stuff to survive and, you know, whatever, but the stuff that we have to do is not, it's not the same thing that they had to do to suffer, to survive. Like, you know, we don't have to hunt for our food. You know, we can go to the grocery store. There's farming, there's, you know, there's agriculture, there's all sorts of stuff. There's all sorts of ways that we can get our food that doesn't involve like needing to go out into the woods with a knife and like jumping down from a tree and stabbing a boar or whatever the fuck they did back in the 1700s.
By the way, great 90s punk band, Stabbing the Boar, but go ahead. They were great. They were fucking wonderful. But you know, the funny thing is, you don't even have to go out like of the house to get food today. It can come to you.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff. And I don't think we know what we have to do, because as a species, we're still very young. And as a species, we didn't used to live past 40. So the fact that we live to 90, 100 now, like those extra 60 years, like we have no idea what to do with that as a species.
Yeah.
So we're still figuring that shit out.
Yeah. I totally agree. I think one of the first questions is, what does it mean to be human? Right. And then we go to, what does it mean to be a man or a woman or whatever, but what does it mean to be human? And what does it mean in the modern age to be human? And maybe we're going to find out that as we evolve and as things get easier in some ways, our bodies evolve and maybe our brains continue to grow and our bodies atrophy some because we don't need them as much, but maybe that's what we need to survive even longer and make society even better. Or maybe we find out, oh shit, we've been sitting around way too much and we actually should probably move our bodies the way we used to 50,000 years ago, and that might make society better. But I don't think we know at this point.
Yeah. Wow, it's getting deep, man. Yeah, and you're right. Well, you're right. It's a lot of this, you know, talking about what it means to be a man. It's really about what it means to be a human. It's just what it means to be, you know, what society's expectations are. And boy, are things different. I mean, you are, you know, more, let's just say, lack of a better word, allowed to be off the path of norm, you know, what's normal nowadays. And Brian, you touched on this too. Exactly. I wrote this down. We there's this conflict, I think, between people saying, well, everybody says it, like, I don't care left, right, poor, but I want my kid to have it, you know, better than, it's always better than I did, because it's always, people always, no matter who you are, you suffered or you had to work hard to get that thing. And that's fair. I mean, some maybe harder than others, whatever, you know, maybe having to, oh, when I went to that Ivy League school, I had to pick a meal plan and it was really tough to figure out whatever, and that's fine. But then sometimes but then it turns into, well, they're soft. They've had everything given to them, you know. Brian's temporarily blinked out, but I believe he's still blessed. There he is, yeah. So there is definitely a conflict, you see. I mean, how many generations ahead has it been like, I made it better for, you know, somebody in late 1800s, early 1900s, that was, you know, even say the Depression era, you know, Dust Bowl-y stuff, and you did something, you put yourself out there, you worked hard to make things better. And then, like you said, where's the line between easier and better? I don't know. Anybody in the chat, any thoughts there? I know you're out there, people. You're really quiet today. Get in there, son of a bitch.
Spent 2 months in Ireland.
Yes, you just got to think you were in Ireland for a good. Don't mention to me about that.
Town that my great grandparents were from, and on the farmland there, and realizing just how hard their lives were. And my great grandfather lived till he was 99, super healthy guy, but like, wow, his life was just gardening and farming his entire life. Yeah. And as I was there in November and December, when it was cold and wet and dark the entire time, I just thought, I can't I couldn't have done that. I could have done what he did. And does that, that doesn't make me any less of a person or a man, but like, I just, that wasn't my skill set.
Yeah. And is it any wonder that the writing that comes out of Ireland, that does, you know, very dark and depressing. I'm a huge Eugene O'Neill fan, and he's rooted directly into, you know, it's like not too many happy-go-lucky feel-good stories coming out of Ireland. But you're right. It I mean, that's a great example about how, I mean, it is a land dedicated to, you know, these people shut down because they couldn't grow fucking potatoes. They're like, we got to get the fuck out of here. Goddamn potatoes won't grow, whatever. And you're right. I mean, I guess maybe circumstances make the person too, right? I mean, it's one of those.
That's exactly what I was about to say. You didn't have to do that. They had to do that.
Right.
And it, like, so if you would have had to have done that, you would have done it.
Yeah.
It's because of the way that society has moved forward is making people, and it's not their fault. Like, people seem to always go, you know, oh, you know, it's the kids are lazy or whatever. No, they just don't have to do that stuff. So why would they? Like, if you don't have to work the farm, you know, work the land and, you know, do all that hard work, like, why would you do that? There's really no reason to do that. And the way that society is going now, there's a possibility that there is going to be a point where we do have to do that again, and then we'll figure it out. Like, but for right now, why would you do that?
Well, Mr. fucking Silver Lining, Mr. Black Cloud there. But you're right.
Let me throw back at that, because I agree with you. But then there is this kind of movement of guys, not just guys, people who are doing rucking, where they take these rucksacks and they put heavy rocks in them, and they run or walk for miles a day simply because it's hard, right?
Yeah.
And they are saying and reporting back that doing something hard like that, that's not expected, improves their body, improves their mind, improves their life in various ways that we no longer are required to do. Therefore, we do it by choice rather than by being forced to do it.
Right.
Whether or not that's true, I think that there's something to pushing ourselves to do hard things even when it's not expected of us. Because I, just for myself, I can say it's really fucking easy to be a couch potato. I've done it. I do it. I was just supposed to be training for a thing that I didn't train nearly as hard as I should have for. And I became a couch potato during part of that time. And it's like I wanted to have pushed myself harder than that. I would have gotten more out of it. And I didn't. And we all push ourselves to do various things. But the question is, if you had everything given to you, if you were the son of a millionaire, right? And he just gave you the inheritance.
Right.
What do you do? Do you just drive around in fancy cars and sit and watch TV and play video games all day long? All the time? And eat nothing?
Hold on. Yeah. I see no issue with that. No, but
No. Not that I
do it. Life is great, you know?
Not that that's what I would do. Like, I do also like to, I don't go out of my way. I don't fill backpacks full of rocks to walk, but I do like to push myself physically a little bit, not as much now because I'm, you know, 100 years old, but that kind of stuff is great. But yeah, you do see these trust fund kids, these kids of millionaires, really just becoming shitheads on TikTok right now, right? Or, you know, sometimes they become president of the United States. We're not going to talk about that. This isn't a political show,
no,
but
please, we're going to touch on him a little bit. It ties into this,
but yeah, a lot of times it ends up, you know, those people are shitheads because they're sort of cut off from the rest of society. Like, when you have a lot of money like that, there's no reason for you to interact with like normal people. So you just get further and further away from those normal people, and then you end up, you know, being a shithead on TikTok.
let me I don't want to say push back a little bit, but let me take a little bit of a different point of view. Just because you are, let's just use, come from this privilege, whatever you want to call it, this background, it doesn't inherently make you a bad person, of course. Yeah. Of course, I'm not saying you're saying that, but I'm just saying, because some people do. But also, you're not you're not being elevated to sainthood either, just because necessarily of having a harder background. You know, like, I respect people that lift themselves up from the bootstraps, as long as, you know, you can talk about, if you watch the show enough, you know, Gary likes to talk about how government keeps people down but whatever, that's all, but I'm gonna go there. But, and that's great. And people overcome hard times, but let's be fair. A lot of hard times and suffering is a little self-inflicted. I know plenty of people, including family members. So, you know, and that's great. But so just because, you know what I mean? Sometimes we elevate people just because you've suffered. It doesn't necessarily mean you're this. But if you haven't, that doesn't mean you're necessarily bad. You know, it really, I guess, comes down to the choices you want to make and how you want to help, or, you know, whatever you want to put out there into society, I guess. I don't know.
And I'm sure that there are plenty of trust fund kids who, like, are raised in a way that makes them useful members of society. But I guess we're only seeing the ones who end up being shitheads because they're the ones who get famous.
That's true. That's true. You don't hear too much about. Please, Brian, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it comes down to how you're raised. I think it comes down to your family and your community and the expectations put on you. I mean, it's fine to be raised with a lot of money if your parents or your caregivers can figure out how to introduce you to activities that are productive, that engage you communally, that keep you active, that keep your mind thinking, that do push you into hardship a little bit. There's plenty of rich people whose parents figured out how to, you know, keep them growing and moving rather than be stagnant, you know.
Barb checking in. Orange Man is the correct name. Well, there you go. Fair enough. Pain in the ass, Clyde.
I don't know who
you're talking about. Yo, Gary, at the field house, ready to play soccer. Love you, guy. Clyde is a man. I've known him since I was a kid. He's a pain in the ass, but he's a semi-loyal viewer of this show. So, Clyde, thank you, and go fuck yourself. Okay. This is how we doesn't everybody treat their viewers like this at the show? But yes, exactly it. Oh, hold on, Courtney, checking in. There you go. Oh, hold on, Clyde, with the hearts, of course. Courtney, honestly, in my opinion, it's a different day. Women are more independent and not as dependent on men. I got to stretch it to read this long comment. It's a long comment, so I'll read it and then I'll show it. Women are more independent and not as dependent on men, and the world is different. Roles have changed over the past 50 years, and it will keep changing. Male and female roles are not as defined. That's very true.
Yeah, and that's good, and that's part of, like, that's part of technology advancing. Like, we don't need, again, I'm a big, broad-shouldered, you know, 6'1" guy. Like, I can do things that a lot of, like, some people can't because they're just not as strong. Like, that's...
They're in wheelchairs!
Or they're in wheelchair, or, you know, they can have some sort of, disability. And, you know... That's when, you know, back in the day, good people would help those people. And now, like, we have a lot of ways that people can just benefit from technology and stuff so that we don't need, you know, big guys. Like, I mean, you guys are big. You guys look big and strong, too. So, you know, back in the day, we would have been the ones, you know, tending the fields and stuff, but
no, would have been ringing the bell. Let's ding 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 dinner time.
I don't think so.
Hold on, Brian. One sec. Hold off on that. I think everything you said is very, very valid, Michael. But I think Barb has put this very succinctly. Ready? Tits up. There you go. Tits up. Barb says. Fair enough. There you go.
I don't. What it. What is that referring to?
women having power and going out there chest first and taking on the world. The Mary Tyler Moore throwing the hat into the air.
Okay.
Kind of thing. Yes.
But instead of throwing the hat up into the air, they throw their tits up.
Tits out, baby. That's it. I've listened to your show. I've not heard any. That's not true. Your show is full of tits. But anyway, Brian,
it certainly is.
It certainly are. Brian, please go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I mean, yes, modernization is happening, and yes, technology very soon is going to be taking over a lot of manual labor jobs. But at the moment, it hasn't. And at the moment, their statistics, and I don't know them exactly, but it's something like over 97% of hard labor, dangerous jobs are still occupied by men. I mean, that's just a reality that we can't deny. Mm-hmm. And it is because of tradition, but it's also because of the physical.
And if I may, people don't want to hear this, but that plays into some of the wage gender, the gender wage gap too. Yeah. Men climb towers mostly. Men haul heavy things mostly. A lot more danger. It's just how it works. More men die at job sites and things.
Better because of that. It's just saying that's the way things.
It's just the way it is. Exactly.
Because of biological natures.
Absolutely.
That's all fine and good. Like if you're getting paid to do a dangerous job, and that's part. It's just, I think the wage gap problem is when women are getting paid less to do the same jobs.
Getting
a guy to climb, you know, up the fucking Golden Gate Bridge to repair cables. Like, yeah, unfortunately, that's mostly going to be a guy job,
right?
Just because of the nature of bodies. Right. But yeah, like there's no reason that in the office, right, men are getting paid more. Like that's, I think, the.
Unless
the
they're doing
an issue
job
with that,
you know, and a woman is doing a better job, she should get paid more, right?
Absolutely.
With merit, right?
Yeah.
By the way, everyone, please take note. Brian with the phrase of the night. I'm sorry, Michael with the phrase of the night. The nature of bodies. Sounds like an 80s sex thriller, doesn't it? The nature of bodies. Michael Douglas and Sharon Stone in The Nature of Bodies.
I would watch The Nature of Bodies. That does sound like something I would have watched on VHS.
Dude, I'd watch the fuck out of that movie.
Well, specific parts would get worn out of that.
You know what? That's what fast forward is about. Oh, hi. You've come to my office. No one's here. Bingo. God, you just get me. Wait. All right. Lady Poopin didn't check it in. Kindness and empathy in men aren't valued by some. It's even discouraged. What the fuck is that? The definition of a strength is so screwed up. That's exactly it. It's in that very, that's exactly in the notes. You're exactly right.
Thank you, Gary's wife, for putting up that question that Gary wrote and asked you.
I wish that were true. Are you kidding me? You don't know my wife.
She's much better and smarter than you are, Gary.
It's not even, no argument over here, pal. No. Speaking of bodies, what the fuck is hanging on your chair, Mike?
Oh, are you talking about my haunted doll? She watches over me while I podcast.
Oh, there you go. Let's see. I know what's going on there. Oh, yeah. There you go. That's not creepy at all. Yeah, you know what? I could totally see Levon Cleef having that on his fucking chair. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Fucking Lee Marvin used to fucking, in his movies, would always have the, you know, okay, Charlton Heston. I don't want to sing.
Yeah, no, she whispers in my ear when I'm doing something wrong.
Yes. Barb, like I said, shouldn't fuck anything up. You have a link to The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. I watched it and I don't not really understand what's going on there. Hi, Barb, by the way. But I barbed the chicken earlier, but I love Barb. Barb is a fucking like day one backroom show video version viewer and contributor. She's a lovely woman that I went to school with, and I'm glad we're friends. There it is. Oh, the tits up reference. Ah, of course. That's it. I know that. Yes. There you go. Exactly.
Well, so let's get to Lady Poopington's comment about men not being encouraged to be empathetic, right?
Exactly. I actually wanted to say, where is that? Yeah, there you go. All right. Actually, that ties into the Trump thing. Not to make this political, but let me turn that off. Not that Trump invented it, but I think he definitely poured some fuel on that fire of how we've turned being a loudmouth, arrogant asshole equating strength and toughness. Again, nothing new. We all, loudmouths and assholes, you know, have been around forever. But boy, has it been extra bad, I think, you know. And, you know, are they covering up from some sort of weakness? Trump clearly is a moron. He fucking makes it up as he goes along. I think that, well, no, I don't think, I know that he goes into attack mode, say with the press immediately, because that way he can put a wall up and go, well, they want to be they want a conflict, because that way he never has to actually show that he doesn't fucking know or understand anything. So please, gentlemen, your thoughts on the asshole equating strength and power. What's that all about?
I think Trump has less to do with that happening, and he has more to do with it, like, getting a voice, because that kind of community has always been around online.
Yes.
And it was sort of pushed down because people knew that it was shameful to be a misogynistic asshole. So people would be like, you know, let me keep that part of myself secret. But once Trump came in and, you know, you saw this guy who is obviously, again, a moron and an asshole.
No question.
Like, rise up to the president of the United States. Now you have people who are like, oh, well, this is okay now. Yeah. So they come crawling out of their dark caves, you know, into the light, which I think is bad. Like, yeah. Call me crazy. I don't think that these, like, racist, homophobic, transphobic assholes should have a big forum to spread that kind of stuff around. Right. Free speech, whatever. You can think and say whatever you want, but letting it out into the public is, I think, bad and wrong and shouldn't be allowed.
Yeah. Brian, let me hear what you think. As far as, you know, maybe kindness and compassion.
Yeah, I want to step back to the psychological factors. Please. About what it means to be an asshole versus what it means to be kind and empathetic, right? Right. So I don't want to be super long-winded about this, but
hey, take your time. We got like 40 minutes to fill, pal. No, I'm kidding. Go ahead.
So because just by an act of nature, men's bodies are the way they are, and because women bear children, that men were required to do the hunting and do the fighting for millennia. Doing that, sometimes if you don't get a chance to heal from the ways that you get hurt out there in the field, whatever you're doing, you can get hardened emotionally. And that in some ways became valuable. The harder and tougher you can be, the stronger the war you are, the more people you can kill, the more animals you can kill, the more it can benefit society.
Because I suppose in some ways, to some people, vulnerability can be a weakness,
in certain eras, that toughness had to get baked into the culture in order to survive. Mm-hmm. And it was an accident, but it just never got unbaked. Right. And so we know just the history of movies that we grew up with. The drill sergeant is always the asshole, and the best soldier is always the toughest guy that gets his way through. Right. So we were still raised with that, you know, thousands of years old meme that says that we have to be tough. And we're now really just discovering that those traits don't have to any longer be baked into who we are, that we can start to examine the emotional and empathetic side.
I think that making the choice when violence or anger, assholery, whatever you want to call it, is an option, and you choose kindness, forgiveness, that's fucking strength. Because, I mean, believe me, I ain't no walking. Believe me, I'll hold a grudge for it. I'll get fucking mad for you.
Family.
What's that, right? Buddy?
It said it can be unless someone's trying to murder your family. But, so, like, there are times for kindness and empathy, and there are times to shove that aside and do what you got to do to survive. tech people.
Look at that. Oh, I guess I must have talked to Brian ahead of time to write this down for me. Exactly.
You did talk to Brian ahead of time.
But not about that. hold on. A man with strong arms and a soft heart is the sexiest man alive.
Oh, Gary.
You know, Courtney, when I was holding my puppies the other day, and I was writing a check to the local orphanage.
To help.
And when I give out food to the homeless, and I...
Speaking of tits up.
Tits up, baby. Look at that fucking chest. Bam. Fucking chest. Bam. Ow! Oh, I hurt myself.
I forgot what I was going to say now because of your tits, Gary. Yeah.
Tits up, baby. I was going to say, Brian touched on it, and I have it written down, the sort of, I'm calling it the myth of toxic masculinity, which doesn't mean that there aren't times where people, whatever, but there's nothing wrong at certain times when shit's going down. I don't know, when a fucking shooter comes into a school and somebody's, you know, like maybe the cops that didn't go the fuck in. Oops.
Yes.
You know, but there's nothing wrong with that. Sometimes.
But that's not when it's toxic. It's toxic when it's all the time.
Right.
Like when you need to do something violent or like I'm capable of that. I'm sure you guys are capable of that. But when that's not the only option, that's not going to be what I pick. It's right. When that's what you always pick. That's when it's toxic.
Yeah, you and I touched on this on our phone call.
Shit. You just gave away that we talked before.
Ah, son of a bitch. God dang. Everybody knows that. No, but there's nothing wrong. Some people, when I say the toxic masculinity, I mean some people, I hate doing the some people thing, but whatever. To some people, it's anything assertive or traditionally masculine. They go, oh, here's your mansplaining, all that kind of stuff. It's like, there are times when these things happen, but there are also times where it's a little overreactionary. I think sometimes to be fair, we swing too much a certain way or back or whatever. And I don't know. You know what I mean? Brian, we talked about that too, as far as how, you know, there's a line between being empathetic and sympathetic. And because sometimes it goes the other way. Sometimes people don't give anybody any grace. Like, for example, if an 80-year-old woman accidentally uses the wrong pronouns or whatever for you, give a little grace. It's okay. You know, that kind of thing. I think we all have to be a little more compassionate too, right?
Well, in terms of strength and empathy, like they can exist together. You can have, I mean, I really like this idea that I heard a couple of podcasters talk about that, and stay with me until I finish the idea because it might not make sense. But a good man is a very dangerous man that chooses to keep that dangerousness and that strength and aggression.
I've heard that. I know what you mean.
Control and decides to lead with his heart and good values, but is quite capable of doing things that he needs to do. A good man is not a harmless man. A good man is a very dangerous man who willingly keeps that danger under control.
I like that. Michael, it just hit me what I was going to say about you. We talked about the sort of wearing your thing on your sleeve, sometimes literally. Like, I am absolutely, I talked about how people overreact to manly stuff, like whatever, like guns, hunting. Hey, have at it. I'm all for it. You know, I'm a libertarian. I don't give a shit. Everybody should own several guns if you want, maybe a couple RPGs. Teehee, I'm kidding. But you're right. When you make that your overriding personality trait, because you have to put it out in the world, like, you know, you're head. If you say the term head on a swivel more than twice a week, you're a fucking problem.
Before I get into that, I do remember what I was going to say. You were talking about how that never got sort of evolved out of us. The fact that, you know, get it, like having basically PTSD from battles and stuff, it is something that sort of stuck around. And yes, it has. But people are also, like, with the invention of the internet, like, the internet can be a terrible, toxic, horrible place, but it can also be a place where you can connect with other people that you wouldn't otherwise have an opportunity to connect with.
Great point.
And that's showing a lot of people that you don't have to be like that. Like, men can be vulnerable and they can be empathetic, and people are starting to realize that. So maybe it is swinging too far one way right now, but it will even itself out. I have faith in people that will be able to figure it out, rather than just, you know, everybody's like, oh, you know, back in the 50s, we were all manly men, and now everybody's, you know, sissy girly men.
Everybody,
but that's never been true either way.
Everybody was a fucking chiseled jaw, Pall Mall smoking man, and now they're all a bunch of like femmy hair over the eye. Yeah, exactly.
But that's not true. But if it did swing a little bit towards that too much, it'll come back, and I feel like people have the ability to be well-rounded people, right. And just the fact that everybody knows now that, oh shit, I'm not the only man who feels like this, right. I think is helpful to everyone. Like, hearing women's stories about stuff that they went through with with men, I think helps a lot of men realize that, you know, men can be shitty, and we can speak out against that, because the men who are shitty aren't going to listen to women. They aren't going to listen to gay guys. They're not going to listen to, you know, trans people. They're going to listen to other men who look like them. And if we can get that, you know, even a couple to change their minds and maybe, you know,
you not the Rock. Be so you're talking toxic. About the Rock. We need the Rock is what we need.
We do need the Rock. We need the Jesus. Rock.
Yes. You know what? Since you touched on that, perfect timing on that with this E. Jean Carroll thing going on with Trump, you know, the whole, I'm seeing a ton of like, why did she wait so long? Or how could she act a certain way if she's a victim? Because God forbid she'd laugh and enjoy her life. Or, wow, when that motherfucker said, basically, I'm paraphrasing people, but she's not my type. As if to imply there's a type you would rape, you know? And some people are like, yeah, and that's not specific to what's going on with him. That's, so you're right. I mean, the things that we just sort of take for granted that women specifically have to go through. And, you know, the sooner I have three sisters. So, I mean, I, you know, very sympathetic to what goes on with women and the hardships that are unique to them. And you're right. The more we fucking learn and have, you know, instead of your asshole buddy being like, hey, you're right about her, how about you go, no, fucking Tommy, that's not fucking cool. That's mm-hmm. not fucking cool that you say mm-hmm. that about her. You feel this way. By the way, I'm thinking about Courtney's breasts right now, but that's a whole different story. But anyway.
Jesus Christ,
like,
Gary.
What kind of obnoxious asshole would say something like that? So, all right. So, Brian, I want to jump back to you. As a therapist, I'm going to ask you this. If you see, I can't help it.
I know.
I can't help it. ADD, baby. Problems that you see, patients that you talk to that are uniquely, you know, issues that men have specifically. And we touched on this a little bit, like things like lack of affection or how affection is doled out differently from little boys say, or girls. So, geez, please jump off from there.
Yeah. And again, I only know what the current culture that I live in and work in, and who knows what it was like 100 years ago or 1,000 years ago. But
everything was in black and white. Go ahead.
Because of the baked in nature of certain traits that we revered, and in some ways for very good reason, but because those traits kind of got baked in without the accompanying emotional openness, tenderness, and the ability to heal, that then men get treated. Men act in certain ways, but men also get treated in certain ways. And it's been documented that when a boy is born, at least in this culture, in this country, that it is treated very different than when a girl is born. And some of the ways that boy has been treated is they are held less, they are cuddled less, they are talked to less, they are allowed to cry less, and they're kind of pushed off in the world to do stuff like go play. Now, there's part of that that's not bad. Yeah, go play and explore and do hard things. You know, girls should be encouraged to do that too. But we're missing the other half that's holding them, talking to them, cuddling them, letting them cry when they need to, letting them to stay physically close as long as they need to. And when boys don't get that, in lieu of getting the real needs met there, they turn towards this other thing where they get some facsimile of that, which is the attention for being good at things, right, and the attention for being the best at things, which then sets up this whole competitive thing of fighting and, you know, being
and,
an asshole.
And body count, as they call it, you know, how many, hey, you're bagging broads and how many, you know, notches on your belt kind of a thing. And yeah, and you're right, because it becomes a substitute for, because God forbid you're like, yeah, you know, I didn't get, you know, care. You're right. I mean, maybe there were lack some affection in your life. And so you have to find the acceptable ways. And for some reason, we have some fucked up acceptable ways in this society at times, right?
Well, look, if you have very real intimacy needs, and this is not just psychological, this is physiological. If you have very real intimacy needs for closeness and touch and eye contact and sharing your emotions, and you do not get those, and then at 13, the whole world tells you the one way you get to have a little slice of that is to have sex with a girl, then that's what you're going to try to do in any way, shape, or form you can figure it out. And it doesn't go well, because then no one even coaches you how to do that well. Right?
And my dad was in the room, but go ahead.
Then you get more and more shut off and cut off and treat women as if they're inhuman because you haven't figured out how to truly connect with them. And it builds on itself and snowballs.
Right on.
Yeah.
Colby, go ahead.
There, you know, and then these same people who are, you know, I hate to paint with a broad stroke conservatives, but it seems to be the conservatives who do this kind of like toxic masculinity. Men are this, women are this, anyone else doesn't exist, are the same ones who don't want sex education taught in schools, which would help a lot of people understand
point.
That kind of thing. And everybody's like, oh yeah, you know, fourth grade is too early for kids to be learning about. I don't know when you started having like sexual desires and stuff. I was like 12 and I had no idea what to do because no one ever showed me or taught me. So I had no idea what to do with that kind of, with that energy. And if I would have been
good
taught
word. That energy, I like that. That's good. Seriously, that was good. I like that.
And if I would have been taught at 10, I would have known what was going on and what was happening. But we're so puritanical in this country that we don't want kids learning about sex, even though they're going to learn about sex, whether we teach them or not.
Literally every person is a product of it, for fuck's sake.
And I don't think that, you know, I think that does tie into, you know, masculinity and what we're talking about with, you know, people who are too young to be like thinking about like how many chicks have I bagged. If they would have learned about this stuff, that would have been a useful weapon in their arsenal of not being a huge dick like all the time.
Not to get, you know,
Michael, I love that point. In some ways I totally agree with you. And in some ways I think it is complex and nuanced in that, you know, who is teaching your kid sex education and what are their actual qualifications and what's their take on it? And are they saying things that are purely factual or do they have a slant that could possibly negatively affect your child? So I actually see both sides of this. I'm not sure if I had a child, I'm not sure I want a stranger with a political slant teaching my kid what they think sex is. If it's purely scientific out of a book, here's the body parts, here's what happens, you're going to have some of these feelings, cool. Like I might be okay with that, but it still might depend. But I do think that there's a, a lot of slant going on in supposed sex education classrooms that concerns me a little bit.
We're all even of an age.
People should be educated in this, and that would be an arsenal against being an asshole. Yeah.
We all are the age where we found magazines in the woods next to the mm-hmm. pool. You know what I mean? And that's how you learned about things.
That sounds like something that never really happened. The first time I saw a naked woman, I found that magazine in the woods.
Dude, swear to God, the Boyertown pool, there's a park next to it. And fuck it. You know why? I'd like to think that some guy went in there, you know, had a magazine. He's like, all right, future generations, please enjoy Miss Barbie Benton, you know.
When I was like 25, I put porno magazines in the woods saying, here you go, you know, 13-year-old, 14-year-old. You're going to love this when you find it.
you're a fucking mensch there, Michael. Jesus Christ. What a good fucking dude. When Hugh Hefner died, I made some joke about how his final resting place should be between a 13-year-old boy's mattresses, you know, because that's where he spent a lot of fucking time, you know, whatever, right? Thanks, Hugh. You know.
Yeah.
But and we're jokes. So we can joke about it, exactly. But
yeah, and on the same hand, the excess. Your left hand. Yes, very funny. on that same hand, the fact that pornography is it's so accessible now that like another reason for people to learn before they get a hold of porn is that porn's not what sex is like. No. So these people grow up, think, you know, they've had their phones, they've had access to pornography, easy access to so much pornography, and they just think that that's what sex is.
That's
and then
really
when
point.
They actually do it, they're like, this isn't right, like we're not doing this right or whatever, and it pressures everyone into doing stuff that really isn't natural.
We had to find it. We had to hunt for porn. You're right.
Yeah,
it's right here for everybody, right there, right fucking there. Yeah, and you're right. And now there's a hookup culture. And you're how can that not fuck? I mean, not that people weren't trying to get fucking laid. I mean, unrealistic.
Yeah,
no. Jesus Christ. But the idea that someone might be a fucking swipe away, like, how does that not fucking distort perspectives on people?
Yeah, I'm like, do what you do. Do what you do. Because I mean, I did it when I was a teenager. Like, it happens. It's going to happen. But the fact that, you know, you find porn on your phone when you're 9 years old, and then that warps your perception of what sex is. And then, it fucks you up. Like
it fucks you up. Yes. Yeah.
When you see what people are doing in porn when you're an adolescent, it fucks you up.
Yeah, by the way, it's funny. Denise and I were just talking about this recently. Fucking in the shower looks good in movies, not practical in reality.
No, it's
water
terrible.
Is a wonderful lubricant for cutting metal and things. Yeah. Not so good when you're rubbing flesh up against flesh.
It's awful.
It's not good. Brian, please.
Yeah, I was going to say,
on that note,
I think porn is a huge problem for all kinds of reasons. And actually, my mentor, who has been my psychologist and friend, and we worked together since I was 18 years old, he's actually coming out with another book that's talking about the state of porn in the world, particularly in the United States. And that it's way more, I mean, what you said is true, but it's way more than just the idea, what it gives you about what the idea of sex is. It's actually what it does to our brains when we watch it, because we're watching something that is not real, that's on a screen, that's falsely raising our dopamine levels and actually fucks us up way more than super addictive drugs. Yeah. They've done brain scans of teenage boys that have watched hours of porn, and their brains are rewired. And
the fact that it can become an addiction to, I mean, Michael has a video game addiction.
I certainly do.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, that's insane, right? It actually changes the wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the younger that you have access to it, like, Because, like, there's stuff, I mean, when I was a little kid, again, I didn't have a phone with the internet. I didn't have the internet at all. But, like, there are some things that I saw when I was a little kid that, like, still trigger, you know, arousal in me when I see it. And it's, you know, whatever. It just, it was something that I saw.
Don't say ice cream truck. Don't say ice cream truck. Don't say ice cream truck. Go ahead.
No, nothing banal like that. But like, then you have these kids who see, you know, hardcore pornography when they're little kids. And yeah, that's going to fuck you up, dude. Yeah, I have no other. I'm not a therapist. I'm not like a smart man. So I don't have any other words for it. But like, that's going to fuck you up, man.
It's going to fuck you up big time. I mean, these things that we refer to as fetishes. And again, and this is not casting aspersions on anybody's kind of sexual proclivities, but these things that we even call fetishes, they are from exactly what you said, Michael, particular memories linked to this high dopamine response in a sexual situation, quite often before we even remember it happening, gets tied into our physiology that then certain things that people see stimulates that. And it's really just some old memory that then triggers that simulation. Then people want to act it out over and over and over without control of it. That's the problem. The problem is it's no longer under your control. You think that that thing turns you on because the way it got locked in almost a traumatic fashion.
When I hear the Looney Tunes music, Stiffy, right away.
Well, don't. Do it, Gary.
Ah, too late. That's why I keep the camera here. No, right
so you
on.
Can piss yourself and get a boner anytime you want.
Exactly. All right. Let's. We're gonna round third here because you guys have things you must do. Let me quickly get this in. Let me get the plug for the BRN podcast. Hey, everybody. Are you a loudmouth who possibly does a lot of cocaine and so like, I want to get all these thoughts out of me? Well, boy, have you come to the right place. Go to brnpodcast.com. Email me, gary@backroomnetwork.com or phone number 610-698-5878. But as I always say, don't fucking call me. Come on. It's 2024. Fucking text me. What's wrong with you? No, I'm kidding. You call me. Maybe we'll answer. We'll see what happens. No, seriously, a video podcast, audio podcast, any kind of consultation. I've helped a few people out. Go, what do I need? Equipment needs, all that kind of stuff. This is your one-stop shop. Pew, 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 pew. I don't know what this is about. We have no production value for this. It's just me going, pew, 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 pew. So reach out today. All right.
Hey, Gary, if you need post-production on your podcast, nope. I know a guy.
Nope. Nope. It's all done live, baby. That's it. A live edit. Fuck that. I used to edit the audio version, and I'm like, fuck this. So now it's boop-a-dee-boop. I go back. I trim the timer off of it. Done. That's all I need. All right. So we've kind of touched on this, and this will basically be the last thing. But I think we circle back beautifully about is being a man – in quotes, just a substitute for being a decent person and not being a dick. Because at the end of the day, you're right. I think one of you said it. It's not really about men, masculinity. It's about humanity, you know. So please, final thoughts on that.
I think there was a time where being a man meant something specific. I think that time has passed.
Right on.
I think being a decent person is the most important thing now. And that goes for no matter what gender, no matter what anything, just like fucking don't be a dick.
Don't be a dick.
I think it, and it's so easy. Like it's so easy now to learn about people who are not like you, which is, I think, the most important thing of not being a dick is learning about people who, like, back in the day, you know, back when I went to school, which wasn't that long ago, you know, we would make fun of, you know, people for being autistic or for being gay or for being, you know, whatever. And
wearing Wu-Tang Clan fucking shirts, whatever.
Nobody would ever make fun of anyone for wearing Wu-Tang
Clan
shirts.
Unless you want to die.
Yeah, really. but like back in the day, we would make fun of because it was harder to learn about different people. It's very easy to learn about somebody who's different than you. And that's probably going to make you make fun of them not as much because you understand where they're coming from.
Yeah, being
I think
a kid
understanding
is,
is the important part.
Being a kid is a whole other thing because they're stupid and young and your brain, you know, you kind of give a little bit of leeway. But when you see a decent, kind, caring kid, you're like, God damn, all right.
Yeah.
Sadly, it seems to be the exception mostly. But you're right. I think maybe things are getting better. Yeah, you're right. Don't be a, I think to surmise what Michael's saying is don't be a dick. Exactly. Yep. Brian, please, closing thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, look, we still have biological realities of what it means to be male, female, and therefore what it means to be man and woman. And yes, there's this squishy gray area that we're figuring out right now, and there's no, I don't want to give any particular thoughts on that, but aside knowing those biological realities, that does mean something about personality traits to a certain degree, and it's okay to embrace what that means, as long as it's not harming other people, right? So in general, men are more aggressive than women. But if that aggression is
the fuck's that mean?
Jesus Christ.
If that aggression is put towards positive, productive things and when needed, and he maintains his empathy and connection, right? So we can't deny certain realities, but within that we can have a moral compass about how we want to act.
That's true. I mean, you can definitely, if you can learn and get the tools to take that potentially bad energy and focus it on drive and compassion and help and empathy and things. That's not a bad thing, right? Just grow, you assholes.
Just grow, you assholes. That's a better way of saying it than what I did.
Exactly.
Just grow. Like, it's not, and it's not too late. It, like, Gary's, you know, 80 years old and he's
next
learning
month.
Stuff every day.
Next
like,
month I'll be 80.
People are like, oh, I'm too old to like learn that, you know, being non-binary is, you know, okay. It's like, no, it's not. You're just refusing to learn, you know?
Right. Like, fair enough. Yeah.
Like, don't refuse to learn.
And, you know, let me say this. And even if like you don't, and I'm saying you, I don't mean you, I mean editorial you. You don't have to have an opinion and fucking voice it on everything fucking either. You know what I mean? If you don't like that weird kid down the street who looks kind of like a girl and blah, 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 who gives a shit? In what way did it affect your life other than being like, oh, like if your argument is like, that's not what God wanted or whatever, maybe he didn't want you to be a fucking bigoted scumbag either. You know what I mean? You know.
Well, hold on, let me finish with this though, Gary.
Please.
I don't want to open a can of worms, but
open away.
We talked about this the other day too. We need to be able to have conversations about this stuff.
Yes.
Right. We need to be able to have conversations about everything and anything all the time, especially with people who we vehemently disagree with. Right. And that conversation can be productive if we listen really well and come towards each other and being open to change.
Hold on. One caveat to that, because I hear that one a lot, like here in politics or whatever, we have to find a way. Now, if you come from a place of hate and harm, I'm not going to meet you halfway. I'm not pushing back to you. It's just like, to your point. I don't mean it that right. way. I just mean like, that's a common thing said. Like, we have to learn to overcome and compromise. Like, no, if your thing is to hurt people, either physically, emotionally, otherwise, I'm not fucking meeting you halfway.
Yeah, I'm not going to meet a Nazi halfway.
Yeah.
Right. But so that's obviously an extreme example. But were you to be able to sit down in a room with a Nazi or anyone else with a very extreme position, you would actually try to engage them in conversation in a way that you make them question the reality that they think they believe in. Yeah. And people have people have changed.
Absolutely. I've seen that. Absolutely.
A white power movement in Allentown, Pennsylvania, who now gives speeches on the circuit, who when his son was threatened with death because he was born with a cleft palate, he had this sea change in his mind like, oh, shit. they're willing to kill anybody, even one of their own. Mm-hmm. And he had this massive change. It's possible
absolutely
for people to change. And in order for that to happen, you hold a firm line of respect, but you also have to try to engage in conversation.
You're right. It has to start from somewhere, either someone reaching out or someone reaching in. And you're right. It's got to start somewhere. Hold on. We have to cut to Michael's cat here. Who do you got here? Yeah.
This is the worst cat in the entire world. He's lucky
name?
He's so cute because he's a pain in the ass.
He's fucking adorable. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
What's his name?
His name is Joseph.
Joseph. I like that. I like when pets are named like regular. Hey, Scott. Here's my dog, Scott. You know, I like that. That's great. So there you go. Actually, what a perfect way to end it visually with a man gently stroking his pussycat. I love it. Oh, so sweet. All right. Let's get plugs out of the way. Brian, can people get a hold of you, or are you taking clients or anything like that? Or can people reach out to you?
If people want to get a hold of me, just shoot me an email at BrianGallagherActor@gmail.com.
Okay. I will put it in the show notes when I put it up. BrianGallagherActor@gmail.com?
Yep.
Yeah. You still hold on to that old Gmail there, huh? With the there you go. Yes. There you go. And anything else? Any services and things you think are good ideas for people to reach out to if people are having any kind of, you know, issues with things? A good place to start? Immediate, you know, like phone numbers and things, or places?
Well, I work at a place in media called the Phoenix Center for Experiential Trauma Therapy, and it sounds way deeper than it is. It's really just a great, great counseling center with a trauma-informed perspective.
Okay. And what's that? Say that place again.
The Phoenix Center for Experiential Trauma Therapy.
Wow.
In media.
I'm going to call that Bob's Place. Exactly. Yeah, that's a lot fucking easier.
Because Scott is the owner.
That's Scott's guy. All right, Michael, of course. We have Jack Billing. Fucking title. It kills me. Of course, I don't think you post much on Facebook. I guess
scroll
not.
Scroll down and see what the last.
22. Yeah, maybe. But go to Instagram. There you go. Instagram,
Billing at Jack Billing presents. Yeah.
Where you find your podcast, it's available on Apple and obviously here on Spotify.
Yep.
Jack Billings presents Haunted Apartment Complex. And you've got some ideas for a future storyline coming up that I believe you said is going to be taking place in a prison.
That's correct. All I'm at liberty to say. The next season is Jack Billings presents King of the Big House. We'll be in jail. It's all the same characters with slightly different twists. We always add one or two extra characters a season as we need. You can also check out my other podcast. It's called This Bizarre Adventure, where myself and my co-host B Highland, who is a JoJo's Bizarre Adventure super fan, cosplayer, voice actor, an all around lovely person. We talk about JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. We're going episode by episode, and it's the first time I've watched it. Mm-hmm. So if you love anime and unhinged leftists bitching about the state of the country, you're going to like that podcast. It's called This Bizarre Adventure.
I tell you what, stop drilling. You hit oil, baby. You fucking got it. Absolutely. Gentlemen, I can't thank you enough. Oh, also, of course, let me put this up one more time. Episodes coming up Friday, February 16th with the great, lovely, funny, talented, you're going to love her, Courtney. And you're going to, you know, you do is you get a sneak peek of Courtney for when she's the full-time co-host. It's going to be great. Please join us in the chat. Tell us about any horror stories you've had dating and things like that. Those are always, everybody's got something that they went through. And then Tuesday, February 27th, I'll be joined by my, one of my longest, dearest friends, Mike Rupert, and my new friend, Jason. We're going to talk about different things that people collect. Some normal, some unusual, whatever people bring to the show and things that they geek out on. Michael, I know you're a big video game guy, so there you go. Perfect for you.
I will be there, and I've been told I may be a secret guest on that episode.
Stand by on the Skype, or I might even just call you in. Exactly. So everybody, thank you so much. Don't forget to go follow us on all the social media, blah, 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 blah. We just started a new year, and this is what we're going on year three of this version, I think, of the video version. And it's been awesome. We've had some awesome, regular, hardcore fans and people watching the show. They've stuck with us. So I really greatly appreciate that. And, exactly. Don't be a dick. Just be nice and accepting everybody else. And that's it. So we will see you next time in the back room. See ya.